only tent in the state of Florida at this time.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another program of Glorious Day. This is Pastor David, and the voice you will not hear with me at this recording is Pastor Barry. And the reason that he is not with us is that his wife had some health issues, and he's with her right now and taking care of her. And I'm trusting that he will be able to join us down the road for the next program. But so I'm kind of doing this solo, and it's kind of odd because, you know, I'm accustomed to Bishop, he's a bishop, Pastor Barry, going back and forth with me, and we kind of feed on each other, and God uses that. But I'm hoping and praying for this program that God will use me to bring forth a theme that actually Barry's concerns brought about, and that is the issue of healing. And I think it's important the church today is aware that God does heal today, and that God wants to bring healing into our lives. And we know we have three separate aspects to our life, the body, of course, the mind, and the spirit, and we are all connected in that way. And all of those areas of our lives are important to receive God's healing grace, God's guiding grace, God's wisdom, all the things God wants us to have. But for this program, I thought we would focus on healing. And I want to begin with a reading from the fourth chapter of Matthew. For those of you who have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to the fourth chapter of Matthew and verse 23. And this is a report about Jesus, what he did in the certainly throughout his ministry life, but in the early days when people were still getting to know him, one of the ways in which people got to know him was that he traveled around teaching and preaching and performing miracles, and especially miracles of healing. And so this verse says, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And we know that the God's miracles are a way in which he shows us how much he loves us. And this powerful stuff. And today, I hope that I'm speaking to believers who have seen the hand of God producing miracles in the lives of others, hopefully in your lives too. I've had moments of great healing the Lord has done in my life. And so I know that that happens today. But I also know it's a very important concern for us, and especially in these times, because we have the onslaught of COVID-19 and all that's connected to that. And in our culture today, speaking particularly of being in America, it's not an easy time right now, as you know. I'm not telling you anything new, but it's very difficult in our culture today with the political chaos, with people yelling and screaming at each other because they're tired of all the mess. We see increases in the way people are expressing road rage and anger, and sadly, the spirit of heaviness still hangs over this nation. Now, I believe God is going to deliver us from that. I believe he's in the process of doing it. We don't see it right now, but his promises have come forth. His prophets have spoken, and I'm very much convinced that God is moving in this way. But right now, we could use in our land healing of all kinds, can't we? And we know that Jesus did that. We see a lot of the physical healings in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, certainly. And Paul reports several types of healings in his letters. And we know the Holy Spirit has moved throughout the ages, to manifest God's loving grace, his incredible power in the midst of his people, no matter what age you're talking about, from the first days of God revealing himself to his people to today and everything in between. And many of you I know are hopeful for healing in your life or the lives of someone you love. And so it's with that in mind, and with the great need of a church moving toward revival, to have a sense of God's healing and a hunger for it and a desire for it, that I would like to explore this. Now, I want to also go to the letter of James, James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. It's a well-known verse, actually. I'm going to read those verses. James writes, "And the power of and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Now, I like the way that James incorporates the work of healing grace into the work of reconciliation with God and forgiveness, because that's certainly part of it. So as I'm speaking to you today about healing, keep in mind that the scriptures make it very clear that for us to present our needs to God for healing, we will probably be led by the Holy Spirit to consider our repentance before God, sin issues that we have conducted that we have not asked his forgiveness for. And that often the things we need healing from are those things that are related to our rebellion. Yes, we're believers, and yes, we're saved by grace, but we still have that free will, and believers can choose to rebel against God. And when we do, we certainly need to repent, recognizing that, and go before God. But I want to say then about healing that sometimes we need to be healed from the spiritual damage that our sin has caused us. Now, a case in point, and I'll have several stories to share with you during this broadcast. But several years ago, a couple of decades ago, in the church I was in, we had a healing service. And I had a young lady come before me. She would come with her family to that service. Her father, her mother was gone. She had a stepmother. And so the three of them would attend. She came up to the front of the church, and I asked her what she needed healing for. And she said her back was just killing her, and she was obviously in great pain. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, "Ask her if she's angry at anybody." And so I did. I said, before we pray, I said, "I need to know, are you angry at somebody right now?" And she looks back at her father and says, "Yes, my father, it's something he did or something he said that really upset her, and that she was holding a great deal of anger toward him." And I said, "Well, before I'm going to pray for your body, I need to pray for your spirit. You need to release that anger. You need to forgive your father." I said, "Will you be willing to do that?" And she said, "Yes." So I prayed. I prayed a prayer. I asked her to pray with me. I lined it out. It was a prayer that within which she verbally forgave her father, and I could tell that she meant it. And then once she had prayed that prayer, then I laid hands on her, anointed her with holy oil, and we prayed. I prayed for her, the healing of her back. So she walked back to her seat. We had the rest of the service, and at the end of the service, she came up to me and with a joyful, beaming smile on her face and said, "My back is healed." And I said, "Wow." I said, "But I know that that's what God wanted to do, because first, you needed to forgive your father, because that you're carrying a great deal of anger weight. And anger can be very painful to us." And just as a side note about anger, if you're angry at somebody, guess who it's hurting? It's not really hurting them. It's hurting you. So often, our needs for healing that need begins to be met when we can let go of the anger that we are holding in our heart towards somebody. It's not worth hanging on to the anger to suffer like that, and God doesn't want us to suffer. And of course, then too, another area of healing, when you let go of your anger, you can actually enable God, or you don't enable God, but God through you will begin to heal a relationship that you need healed. And that person whom you are angry with, then you can have healing and new fellowship. So that's an important point. And so when we talk about sickness, we have to consider that it's not just the body, it's the mind and it's the spirit. And confession is a major source of healing. When we go to God, we got a sin issue, we go to God and say, God, I've done this, I'm sorry. I lift it up to you, I open my heart to you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless me and forgive me. And God is willing to do that. God is happy to do that. And the other great benefit is that our pains, our inner heart pains, and sometimes our physical pains are removed. We're delivered from them. And so particularly today, I want to get back to the issue of physical healing, because we're all human beings. We all have a certain amount of fragility. If you're a young person right now hearing my words, you're going to not relate too well to that. You're going to say, oh, no, I'm invincible. And I wish that were true. But the truth is our bodies, while they can be strong and while they can be free of disease, free of injury, they're still kind of fragile. And that if your body sustains a major hit, your body will notice it. Your muscles, maybe even your bones, your tendons, certainly your nervous system will all be impacted. And so then we don't think we're so invincible, and we would love to have a deliverance from the pain and the suffering. And so that's a big issue for us. But what should I say about that? What does the scripture say about that? Well, the first thing the scriptures say is that God heals. I'd said that earlier, but I want to repeat it. God heals today. There are some folks that don't think that miracles have occurred since the last apostle died. I feel sorry for the people that believe that, and for those leaders in those groups who've told people that that's true, because it's absolutely not true. The Holy Spirit continues to move in creation, and God continues to send the Spirit to his church to do his will. Now, God's will is very important, and I'll certainly be folding that into what I'm saying. So I'm going to tell you another story when I talk about physical healing. When I was a young man, and by that I mean I was 26 when I met Jesus, when I invited him in my life, and my wife, of course, did the same thing. It was a wonderful, we got a twofer, I guess I've said before. God, Jesus saved both of us the same night. And it was a wonderful time, a time of growing and discovery. And much of that has not changed. God still reveals stuff to us. But soon after that, I'm going to say in the next year and a half, I became aware of the fact that my mom had been diagnosed with bone cancer. Now, this would have been in 1978. And so, still a young Christian. When I became aware of that, my immediate need was to go to God. I got on my knees. I prayed for her healing because I didn't want her to die, but I knew that she was past the point of any treatment. And the doctors had said it was just a matter of time. And so being a new Christian, now I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be confessional with you. But if any of you are also new Christians and you're thinking along these lines, I want to discourage you by my own story. But I had what I'm going to claim now to be kind of a level of arrogance that I had concerning my relationship with God. And I believed that because I had come to Christ, received him as my Lord and Savior. Those of you who've been on the road for a while with Jesus will know how immature these thoughts were. But I believe God owed me. Okay, well, I'm just going to put it right out there. Now I know it's not true, but back then I said, God, you owe me. I've accepted your son. I've done everything you wanted me to do. And now here's my mother, your child, who is dying, and I'm asking you to heal her, to restore her in this life. And I kept that attitude as I would visit her on a regular basis, and we would have prayer. Now, my mom was a believer, but I was not sure she had ever accepted Christ. You know, her in our conversations over the years, I knew that she was an active churchgoer and that she loved the Lord, but I wasn't sure she had actually invited him into her life. So at some stage along the way, I led her in the sinner's prayer, and she prayed that, and then I knew she was saved. But and that even more so encouraged me to go before God and say, God, look, my mom is dying. I don't want her to die. I don't think you want her to die. So heal her in this life. Restore her. May I come in one day to her hospital room, and she will launch herself out of the bed completely healed and dance around the room. That was sort of the essence of my prayers. Time went on. She did not get well. She got worse. She began to really decline physically and to some degree mentally. And I was devastated. And I will also tell you, again, because I'm being confessional, is that because I had this inappropriate expectation of God as to what I thought he should do, I got to be angry at God. I got to be pushy, and I got to demand that he heal her. And then my prayers, I said to myself, well, maybe I need to be more specific with God. See how arrogance just takes you one step further. And so I began to really chart out a schematic of how I believe God should heal my mother. And asking for, and comfort and peace, and Lord, to take away the bone cancer, restore her bone. I mean, I was going very specific, and I was kind of impressed with myself how much I knew about medicine that I could tell God what he needed to do. Well, the upshot of all that, and I don't want to take much more time with the story, but I did want to impress upon you what was going on within me and my attitude toward healing for my mom. And ultimately, the long story short is after she'd been in the hospital 3 months, and really they were doing hospice, you know, they were just taking care of her pain, she died. And then, of course, my devastation got even worse. The enemy got in there and began, you know, turning me against God. And I was angry at God, and I spent a couple of years kind of being angry at God and not really praying and not being faithful. So now, how did God deal with me about that? Because I'm going to talk about healing, I'm also going to talk about how God deals with us in the midst of healing. God showed me something. He showed me that he was answering my prayers in accordance with his will and not mine. Now, this is critical that we should understand that God has a perfect plan for everybody's life. It's a plan that he formed before he made anybody. Okay, before the foundations of the world, God knew every person he would make. He knew everything about them. He knew their needs. He knew the gifts he would give them. He knew the circumstances of their life as their life unfolded, where there would be points along the way when he could draw them closer to him, and you know that they would choose to meet Jesus. I mean, the whole package God had before we were born. And so he knew that at this stage in my mother's life, he already knew that he was going to take her home to be with him. He already knew that. And for me, he knew the direction my heart would take because of my insecurity and my arrogance. And so, afterwards, he showed me how he answered every prayer that I had made. And in fact, I'll tell you, the one way he answered the prayer is that every roommate my mother had in that hospital room, and she was there for 3 months, they were all believing Christians. There was not a heathen among them. There was not an apostate among them. There was not an agnostic or an atheist or anybody like that. Everyone was a church-going, Bible-believing Christian who reached out to her, gave her fellowship in that environment. They even had worship together, she couldn't read much because of the drugs she was taking and everything, but they would share the Word of God with her. God had answered that prayer. Other times I'd prayed, Lord God, give her peace and comfort. You know, and in my shorthand, I was saying, God, just heal her. Just take away all of those bone cancer, you know, the tumors and all that, and make her well. Well, but what God did is at that time, they'd come out with a brand new type of air mattress that especially for people that had cancer issues with a lot of pain, and they had one for her. And so in the last month of her life, she had this wonderful new mattress that created a nice air barrier between her very sensitive body and the hard mattress. And so between that and the drug, she had what God said, I gave her peace and comfort. Not the way you wanted, but the way I wanted. And ultimately then, of course, she died, and I know she's with the Lord right now. And how could I be angry at that? But, now I say, praise you, Lord. But back then I was angry. So I wanted to share that. I spent a long time telling you that story because it's important we understand that in any healing situation that we have for us or other people we love or people to whom we are called to pray for, it's very important that we, in the beginning of prayer, we seek the Lord's will. We seek to know, what do you want for me, or what do you want for this person? The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, in the third chapter, verse 17 through 18, he writes this, "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." If that should be God's will, is the question we should always ask whenever we're going to God for anything, with any kind of petition. But now I'm focusing on healing. So what is God's will for healing for you in this particular moment, or for someone you love? In my case, I had totally the wrong understanding. I wasn't listening to God, so if I had, he would have told me. But I would have avoided several years of anxiety and a lack of peace, and that anger against God, which, of course, thank the Lord, I have repented of, and he's forgiven me. But I would not want you to go through what I went through. So this is where I'm offering this, that God has a will. He may want to show his healing hand in your life today. If you have a disease, if you have an injury, if you have especially a dread disease, a cancer, heart disease, anything to do with the circulatory system, your lungs, whatever, you can hold that up to God. But what does God want to do? How does he want to give you glory? I have been able, through telling this story, to finally, about my mom, to give glory to God for what he was doing and to know that she's with him today. And he gets the glory for that now. But for all of us, we're all going to have situations where we come before the Lord and ask for healing. What does he want out of that? And I'm going to tell you right now that if you pray and you seek God's will about your healing or about the healing for someone else, he will tell you in his time. He will tell you. You will not be wandering around wondering what God intends. He will tell you in his perfect time, and you will listen. And that's what he wants to do. Be still and know that I'm God. Sit still. Don't run off and do what you want. Wait, and I'll tell you, because my timing is perfect. And then you will have a revelation of his perfect will. It's my prayer that whatever your need is for your body, your mind, or your spirit, that God will heal you. And he will in his time and in his way, so that he gets the glory. And we don't necessarily see that at this point, but we will see it at some point. We'll either see it in the aftermath of our physical, emotional, or spiritual healing, when we can say, look what God did for me, and it's there for everyone to see. Or, you know, we might have to wait until we're with God in the kingdom. And then maybe at that time, if we're still interested in knowing what happened, he'll tell us. But it's all God's will. I speak now especially to people who are frustrated and anxious because their ongoing prayers for healing, they have not had the answer that they want. Now, God has not turned his ear deaf to you. Scriptures say that he's always listening, that he's healing every disease and affliction among his people as he sees fit. And so it's important that you put before God your heart, that you submit to him. And by submission, to say, Lord, you are my God. I don't need to tell you what to do. You need to tell me what to do. I'm going to give you my life, my body, my mind, and my spirit for that purpose. And it may take time, Lord God. I may get anxious. I may get frustrated. But Lord, forgive me for that and give me the strength to wait on you. And I will also say, and my time is running out, but I will also say that sometimes, yes, God heals instantaneously. And I have seen that. I hope you've seen that too. But again, it's up to God what type of healing we receive, the timing that there is on it. And God, keep in mind, when we bring something of our lives to God, something very important to us, we do not know at that time how that part of our life is connected to whatever larger body of people God has connected our lives to, because we are all connected in the body of Christ. We are all linked together in Christ. There's a unity. I think we'll see more of this as days come and go. But there is a unity, so that in the body of Christ, if you're a believer and something's going on in your life, that God wants that his response to your concerns to be shared in the body, to be seen by the body. And his timing on that, only God knows. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope I haven't been confusing. But these are points. And of course, all of this can be seen in God's Word. You can go to God's Word and read, especially in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus does all kinds of healing, all kinds of miracles. Again, because God is showing how much he loves us. That's what the work of the miracles is all about. And then hopefully, once we've seen the miracle, we open up to the larger truth, which is the revelation of the Holy Spirit about our relationship with God, which is what Jesus said to the people. If you'll remember, when after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and his disciples crossed the lake to the other side, they hoped to get some rest. But the people followed them, and when they got across, the people were there. And the people wanted him to multiply the loaves and fishes again. They really got into the miracle. And Jesus, you know, responded to say, you're only here because of the miracle, but I have something greater than that that I want to show you. So, and I guess I'm going to have a prayer, but before that, the last thing I want to say is that you have a need in your life for healing. Praise God. You have a God who heals you. Praise him. And you have a God whose timing is perfect. Father God, all of the listeners today, I pray that those that particularly do have healing and needs in their lives for themselves or others, Father, you would move in such a powerful way, that you would guide them to your will, to an understanding of how you want to work in that situation, and then pour out your spirit and your time to restore them. For behold, you say, I make all things well. In Jesus' name we pray. Goodbye for now. We'll talk to you next week.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.